As we look at the passage of Scripture, we wonder how it might have appeared. We wonder how it might have looked. But at the end of the day, Moses felt this was a very precious time. And so as he spoke to God, God spoke to him, and God said, take the shoes off your feet, for you're standing on holy ground. And how many know those moments, those cherished moments when you and God meet together, every now and then you have a holy ground moment, right? Would you just feel like the presence and the power of God is so powerful and so thick? I remember years ago in that small building, I was preaching on this passage on a Sunday morning. And as I was preaching, there just something began to happen in that service. There was a power come in. There was a presence come in. It was overwhelming almost. And I didn't ask the congregation to do this, and I'm not asking you to do this now, but I noticed people slipping off their shoes as I preached. As the presence of God was so powerful, I noticed men and women untying their shoes, taking them off, getting into their bare feet. It came to the place where I felt so humbled in the presence of God. I sat down in the middle of my sermon, took off my shoes, and preached barefoot for the rest of that service. That's how powerful the presence of God was. It was a great moment, and I cherish that moment. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but for that one moment, it was an incredible time for that little congregation that we had at the time to sense the presence of God that powerful. I'm believing God that our time together in a couple of Wednesdays as we come together and pray will be a very special time with the Lord. That when the body of believers come and we pray together and worship together and just spend under an hour just calling on the name of the Lord, that God will meet us here and make it a very special moment we can cherish. Amen. Now we can have those moments on our journey. The journey you're on, you can have those moments, but not every moment will be like this. As a matter of fact, this is the only time in Scripture we are told that Moses talked to a burning bush, the voice of the Lord in the burning bush. There was never another burning bush moment for Moses. As a matter of fact, we're told that there are no other times that I can find where Moses took off his shoes again. It was just this one moment. And yet we know Moses met with God on a number of occasions. When he was discouraged, when he needed direction, at the end of his life on Mount Pisgah's lofty heights, the song says, and God decides to take Moses and bury him himself. That was a very special moment for Moses. But he never had another burning bush moment. And so what I'm saying is that if we're looking for a burning bush moment to happen every time we come before God, we'll be rudely disappointed. We won't find that. It won't happen. The majority of the times that we meet with God, and we should cherish them, are times where maybe nothing spectacular happens, but we know that we've been with the Lord. Amen. We know we've been with the Lord, and it's a special moment, and we cherish it, and we say, thank you, O God, that you took the time to talk to me, and that I could talk to you. Cherish those moments, folks, because as you have those times on your journey, they are holy ground moments. Holy ground moments, very special moments. You see, if it was a burning bush experience every time, pretty soon you'd grow tired of the burning bush, right? You would. But there are moments on our journey when we spend time with the Lord. I remember times in that building, the small building, which we may not have very much longer if the traffic continues like it is. You know, that may have to come down and intersections enlarged. But I remember moments in this building. I remember special moments in the trailer that used to be on the property. How many remember the 14-wide, you know, trailer we used to have for Sunday school? There were moments over there where God just met with us. You don't have to have a Mount Horeb to meet with the Lord. It's when you and God have a little time where you can talk and God can talk to you. Those are special moments. Amen? And we need to cherish those times that we have with the Lord. I know Cheryl and I have had those times both together on our journey and individually on those journey as well. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I haven't had that moment yet. Well, that's okay. You just get ready. You keep meeting with God, and I guarantee you that every now and then you'll have a moment where you just feel the presence of God so powerful that you almost are afraid to open your eyes, afraid of what you'll see, that the presence of God is that wonderful. Amen. And you may even slip off your shoes. You may even slip off your shoes because you feel like you're standing on holy ground. So, lessons from the journey. Number one, cherish the times you have with the Lord because they are holy ground moments. The second thing that I want to say, the lesson from the journey, can be found in verses 7 through 12. This is where God says to Moses, I'm going to send you to do what you think is impossible. The lesson is this: the task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. The task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. God has asked Cheryl and I to do a number of hard things on our journey, but He's never asked us to do the impossible. He has taken care of that. God doesn't have a definition for impossible. What He says of impossible is in the Gospels where it says with man, what? Nothing is possible. But with God, what? All things are possible. That's right. So, lesson number two, the task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. Now, when God spoke to Moses and said, I'm going to send you, in verse 10, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, that was a hard thing. And it would prove to be very hard. And it would take a lot to get Pharaoh finally to the place where he would allow the children of Israel to leave. And that's, you know, further on down the story. It was hard, but it was not impossible. Otherwise, God would never have asked him to do it. And so maybe what you've been asked to do is hard. Maybe you're having a hard time right now in your marriage. Maybe you're having a hard time in raising your kids. Maybe you're having a hard time in your single life right now. Maybe you're having a hard time in your retirement or your career. But I want to tell you, it's not impossible to have God with you and to walk with you through that time and give you His strength to help you be successful on your journey. Amen? Amen. And so, the task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. I don't have the time to share with you some personal stories of the times that Cheryl and I've had. I've shared many of them through the seasons that we've talked about here, but sufficient would be this, that you will have some difficult times on your journey. I've never known anyone to be on whatever journey they're on to have a perfectly no problem skating right through. I always say if someone says no problems, just get ready. You know, maybe you're like the optimist that jumped out of the plane without a parachute. And at 1,000 feet above the ground, you said, so far, so good. The bump's coming, right? The bump's coming. And so it will be in our journeys. There will be difficult times, but they will not be impossible times if we trust in the Lord. So he said, Moses, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Look at verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? Cheryl and I have heard that over and over again, pastoring the church. And usually it's when we've asked someone to take on a responsibility. Cheryl has this keen insight. Whenever we have a vacancy in a Sunday school class or the nursery or someplace like that, I'll usually ask Cheryl, what's your sense of who might fill that job? And, you know, she'll come up with some winners. She really will. And they'll be approached. They'll say yes. They end up loving it. It's really great. But every now and then she'll say, I think, and she'll name a name, they would be perfect for that job. And I went, what? See, I don't have that kind of keen insight that she did. I'll go, well, sweetheart, I trust you, but I don't know. That looks like a failure waiting to happen. And I won't mention any names, but... But she'll say, no, I think they're the one. I really do. And so we'll approach them. And sure enough, they usually say, who, me? Who, me? We would like you to teach the 2 and 3-year-olds. Who, me? I don't have any 2 or 3 year olds. I don't like 2 or 3 year olds. And you want me? Who am I? Who am I, Moses said, that I should lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I that I should teach 2 and 3 year olds? No, not who, me? Yeah, you. Yeah, Cheryl said. She had a holy ground moment and your name came up. And it's amazing, though. Okay, I'll give it a try. You know, they've been here 6 months. They passed the background check. You're called. And so they, sure enough, they get in there and they do it and they love it. They just love it. And they just want to just do that forever. Just that's kind of their calling. And at first, it didn't seem possible. And so if you're approached, Sally comes to you and says, I just feel that you need to work in the nursery. And you go, okay, I will. Watch Sally faint right there. She'll just faint right there. You say, well, who, me? Who am I? Who am I? But maybe God's dealing with you now. Maybe he's dealing with you about serving in some capacity. Maybe he's put something on your heart. Maybe he's dealing with you about being in the ministry. Maybe he's dealing with you about a call to mission work or pastoring or something like that. And your reaction might be, who, me? Who am I? Who am I that I should do that? Who am I that I should do that? Well, if God's tapping you on the shoulder, we ought to listen to what God says. Amen? Because most of us who've been in ministry, and there's a few pastors here today, they'll tell you that when they were called, they probably thought, who, me? Who am I? You know, who am I? And yet, who God calls, he equips. Amen? And he puts us in the ministry. And so it will be with a Moses. Who am I, he said. I remember in our first church in Myrtle Point, one of the previous pastors to us, he said, I'll take Myrtle Point Church, but God, give me only adults. I don't want children. I don't want young people. I only want adults. And you know what God did? He sent him a kids' revival. He had kids coming out of the wall. Every classroom was filled. He had no more teachers. He ended up teaching a group of junior boys in his station wagon. He had 12, 13, 14 junior boys crammed in the station wagon. He was their teacher. Can you imagine the smell? Junior high boys, come on. Never tell God you won't, because God will figure out a way that you will. Come on, amen. So, Moses, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? The task may be hard, but it will not be impossible. And so it is on our journey. Number three, verses 13 to 15. Moses says, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to need to tell them who you are. Now, just a little rabbit trail. It's interesting that the conversation doesn't end at chapter 3. If you read on to chapter 4, Moses and God are still talking, and Moses starts coming up with every excuse you can imagine for why he shouldn't be the one. And God will make some concessions, but at the end of the day, God says, look, you're going. Like it or not, you're going. And this is how it's going to happen. So the conversation continues, but that's for another day. So he says, back to verses 13 to 15, Moses said, okay, if I'm going to go, then I'm going to need to know, because I'm going to be asked, what's the name of the God who sent you? What's his name? And God said to Moses in verse 14, and this phrase is more for Moses. He says to Moses, I am who I am. Some versions say, I am that I am. And what he's saying to Moses, in my opinion, and I think the sense of the Hebrew phrase is, I am whatever you're going to need. Whatever you're going to need, I am who I am. Now, who is he? I am who I am. Now, look at the next line. He says, tell the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That's God says, that's my name, is I am. But to you, Moses, I am who I am. So Moses, when you need strength, I'll be strength. When you need wisdom, I'll be wisdom. When you need authority, I'll be your authority. When you need the words to say, I'll be the words to say. When you need to throw down your rod, I'll be that to you. I'll be everything. I am who I am. Whatever that is, I will be that for you. Now, what's interesting is if you turn to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 58, look at what Jesus said. Thousands of years later, look what Jesus said. Without reading the whole context of what why he said it, in verse 58 of John 8, he said these words, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Same transliteration, same lettering as in Exodus. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, Jesus is saying, before anything, I am. Just as God said to Moses, I am. See, God is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. I am God. I am the I am. Just like God was I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am everything you will ever need. That's my name. I'm the God who's named anything, everything that you will ever need. Now we understand and we know the great I ams of Jesus. In John chapter 10, verses 7, he says, I am the door. In verse 11, he says, I am the great shepherd. But if you study on, you can read in the book of John. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am everything you need. And if you go on and study the phrase I am even deeper, you'll find there's even more than seven that are implied. In other words, as God said to Moses, I am that I am whatever you will need on your journey. Jesus said the same thing. I am everything you will need on your journey. If you need salvation, I am the door to salvation. If you need a shepherd, I am the good shepherd. If you need life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you need resurrection, I am the resurrection and the life. If you need bread, I'm the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am everything that you will need on your journey. Hallelujah. Everything that you need. Nothing excluded. That's what I am that I am meant to Moses. Now what's interesting about Moses' journey is that Moses was going to need a lot of interesting stuff. He was going to need a lot of interesting stuff, and God had it all in store for him. Just consider all the plagues of Egypt. As a matter of fact, every plague of Egypt that God sent to Egypt to convince Pharaoh to let him go corresponded with one of the major gods that was worshipped in Egypt. God was countering the gods of Egypt, and every time God won, God won, God won, God won, until finally the death of the firstborn, and then that's when he said, let him go. Because God will always win. Hallelujah. And because of that, Moses, you will always win as well. And so, God said, you tell them, I am has sent you. And always remember, Moses, this is my name forever. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. And friend, no matter what journey we're on today, God is going to be our I am. I am. Whatever you need, I am. It's like God talking to you personally. I am. You need help, I'm your help. You need strength, I'm your strength. You need wisdom, I'm your wisdom. You need direction, I'm your direction. Whatever it is you need, I am that. And that is a memorial to all generations. That's why we can teach our children, our babies, we can teach them the name of Jesus, because Jesus is what our children need. And he's promised that he will always be there for them. Amen? Amen. So whatever journey you're on today, the great I am is going to be on that journey with you. That's right. Let's stand together, please. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the great I am. We thank you for the I am who I am. Everything that Moses needed could be found in God. And Lord, everything we need can be found in Jesus today. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for being the great I am as well. I ask you, Lord, to be with people today, whoever they are, whatever journey they're on. They may be having a tough time right now. And it may be a hard task, but it's not an impossible task. They're going to make it as they lean heavy on the Lord. They lean hard on the Lord. They're going to make it. Because they're going to call on that name that is forever and to every generation, the great I am, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Be the strength they need. Be the hope they need, the courage they need today. Thank you, Lord, for being the great I am. Thank you for the Moses story. Thank you for our stories. Every story that is here, every person here represents a story and a journey. Thank you, God, that you can be with every person here on their journey. And as we pick up these little lessons along the way, they're going to help us walk out our journey with hope and with great faith in the God who is the great I am. Thank you for that today. Give your people the strength they need, the help they need, the courage they need to walk out their journey. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's thank the great I am today. Amen. 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 Thank you for coming. God bless you. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you in just a little bit. If you can come to the memorial service. If not, we'll see you next Sunday in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.